You are about to experience the Corpse Cast. We would advise any listener who may be ill, pregnant, or of weak constitution to reconsider listening to the show for fear of an onset of health issues related to encountering bouts of pure shock or fright. For those who wish to continue, just remember, to avoid fainting, keep repeating, it's only a podcast, only a podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 319 of the Corpse Cast. I'm Mike.
I'm Shane.
Shane, how's it going? Man, we're three in a row these 2 weeks.
I know. Can you believe that?
You haven't got the Rona in a long time.
Hold it, though.
Oh, dear.
We got BA5 coming.
I know. I don't trust the government anymore. I never did, but it's like, you know what? You know what feels good? Like, I got the Rona, right?
Yeah, I got it twice.
Yeah, and I was fine. I was down for 2 days, but then I stayed home from work, worked from home for a week after that, right?
Yeah.
But that's because I'm being nice. And, you know, you shouldn't go in even if it's not the Rona. You shouldn't make your other people sick, even if you're not the Rona.
It's just not a good thing to do. It's like taking a shit while you're eating dinner.
And then, I've never done that.
Well, I'm saying you go to a restaurant and you go, pardon me, my guts are telling me it's time to shit. I'm going to shit on the floor.
Oh, yeah, that's bad news.
So what you do is you do courteous things like not go to work when you're sick with a pandemic disease.
But the thing is my whole situation is this. They shut the whole country down. Everybody was sad, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I get it. Your mom died, guys. You all have your anecdotal evidence. I am sick of it. I am done
anecdotal with it. Evidence? My mother died? Oh.
No, that's what I'm saying.
The day she dies will be a sad.
All I'm
you
saying,
might not see me for a month when my mother dies.
Well, I
would, she
I
might
would
not even
not
die
to.
From...
I don't expect to see you if that's
coronavirus.
The case. What are you going to do?
She might die from strangulation. You never know, but I'll tell you what.
Long story short, I'm glad that we're past the big time, and I'm glad that we're coming over. We're all feeling great. This episode, we're actually talking about Triptychon.
Yes.
Milena.
Tom G. Warrior.
Dude. And the first time when you said we're doing this, I'm like, oh, dude, that's a guy from Celtic Frost.
Celtic Frost.
Even though I always call it Celtic Frost, because it's not the Boston Celtics. Okay, let's be real.
It's not the Boston Celtics, it's the Boston Celtics. But in Sweden, I think they're from Sweden.
Yep.
Swiss. It is Celtic Frost.
I mean, you know what? Good for them, because they can say however they want, because what the F do I know, man? Like, yeah. I mean, I'm asking you that question. What I know nothing.
Exactly.
So.
But he was also in, like, some would say, the beginnings of black metal, Hellhammer.
Yep,
yeah.
Yep. We're going to talk all about that in their album, Milena Chasmata, from 2014.
Yeah.
And we're also talking about, and I hate to give a spoiler right now, but one of my favorite movies of all time, Event Horizon, from 1997. Shane, how you been doing?
Pretty good, for the most part, yeah. I guess. Just doing the day-to-day stuff, you know, go to work. We were bought by a company.
Oh, no kidding. Okay.
The guy that came in to talk to us is from India, and he is like a Indiana Jones villain. 100%. Cloudy eyes and everything.
Hello.
It's good to talk to you.
Dude,
guys.
I work with so many Indians, and I love their guts so hard, dude.
I you know, here's the thing is the minute my Spidey sense went off, I said, this guy is a fucking villain.
Yeah, really?
But the thing that I did appreciate is he likes me.
Oh, good.
He's like, Shane, get some pizza. He's like, I haven't met any of you. Who are you?
How old is he? I mean, if you were to guess.
I would say 50, maybe 55, 58.
Does he have his shirt open for that chest hair?
No, he doesn't have a lot of chest hair.
Too
He's
bad.
Slightly nervous. Both eyes are clouded.
Really?
With a white cloud. I call him cloudy eyes because he just, but he comes in and what I really appreciated about him is he looked at me and the other jackasses that are drivers that I work with.
Sure.
And he went, you guys are the lifeblood of this company.
Mm-hmm.
I went, thank you. Finally, someone fucking understands what I do around here.
So is he going to be the day-to-day boss at your new place?
No, they're out of Texas.
Okay.
So we might only see him, but he handed his business card to me. He says, this, you can contact me. This is my personal cell phone.
Dude, can I give you one piece of advice?
And I said, I'm going to tell on people. I'm going to tell. I've already started implementing it. To my old boss and everyone, I say, don't make me make a call to Sankit.
No, Ashabar.
His name's Sankit. Okay. And I say, do not make me make that call. I don't want to do that.
Dude, do me a favor and heed my words. Never go to a strip club with an Indian guy. Mm-mm. Because it's illegal in their country. And when they go there, they get effing nuts. Like, I hate strip clubs. I will never go to another one in my life. But the thing is, they talked me into going.
I mean, not one in Utah, because they got whatever. The nipple covers and stuff.
I'm never going to another one ever. But here's the thing, though. So these guys, a bunch of guys from my, I write software, so there's a bunch of Indians that I work with, right?
Right.
And they're like, let's go. Mike, you should come with us. And, you know.
And they already have a boner in their pants.
Well, the problem is you go there, and they don't know how to act.
Yeah.
And they go crazy, and I'm like, dude, sit down. I got kicked out of the American bush.
Wow. And they don't have the nippy covers.
No, but in.
But you can't have alcohol. That's the rub.
And none of them had any alcohol in them. And yet we still got kicked out.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Just a word of warning to you.
Well, what I would say to that in retort is I have been kicked out of a strip club. And they paid for my cab home. I don't know where he's going, but get him there. Get him out of here.
Okay, well, that's nice.
That was the singer or the chick that's on the cover of, what's her name, Janine? The lady that's on the cover for the Blink 182 album.
Oh, no kidding. Okay.
She was there.
Yeah.
And I was with a guy, and he says, every girl here loves me. They think I'm great. Well, it's because you got 200 ones.
Yeah, right.
So I had perfect view, and I just...
Do you know what she sings in her head?
The spirit came inside me.
Do you know what she sings in her head while she's looking it down at you guys?
You sad. Small things.
Yeah. Talking about your pee-pees.
Truth, yeah. And she's not wrong. But I went up there. I thought, she was inviting me up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I climbed up on the stage. I took my shirt off at some point and vomited on the floor. Then I climbed up there, and then they said, get him and take him wherever he needs to go. So I might get along good with the Indian guys.
That's a nice way to not have to pay a taxi fare or Uber fare home, man.
Exactly.
I'm doing that forever. Anyway, Shane, you got anything else? Because I'm ready to get into it, man.
I mean, yeah, I'm ready.
Let's do it. What is the first thing we do at every episode?
We ask that question. Pesky question that no one calls into.
I think we had one call. And I'm so upset because I still look at the numbers and I'm like, why aren't these people calling in?
It's folks, almost like a
folks,
joke
it's
on
time
us.
For you. It is.
It's almost like, I mean, if they're listening and it's there, they're going,
right?
Bros, there's some weird group somewhere and they're going, don't call. Let's just never fucking call.
So we could get pissed off every episode.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. The question, though, for last episode was, what are your favorite horror TV series? Not TV, because we talked about that.
Yeah.
Series as opposed to movies. People called it in at 385-351-9273. But why don't we get right into the one? Let's play a little jingle, shall we?
I say let's take a dance.
Sounds great.
It's the question of the episode. The question of the episode. Calling to the bone phone. Leave your answer at the tone. Question of the episode.
In other words, ooh, baby, it's never enough.
That's right. It's never enough to have everybody call in. We did get one call. We love you so very much. We got Mark from Chicago. Why don't we listen to this real quick while we're sad that only Mark loves us. How about that?
I love him. He's the best.
Hey, Mike and Shane. It's
he's the number one.
Chicago calling in for the question of the episode. Sorry, it's been a little bit since I called in, but you know I love you guys. All right, here's my little answer.
So.
Horror TV series I would recommend. First, I'd recommend the show Kingdom.
Ooh.
I've been kind of on a zombie kick.
Oh, yeah.
This is an Asian zombie show that's really freaking good. And the zombies were really well made. I highly recommend
Kingdom.
That one. And then another one I just finished today would be All of Us Are Dead. That's a freaking awesome show.
I think that's
an
Asian one, too.
I just heard they're going to come out with a second season. And they do a really good job with their effects on that, too. And then they got gross features and everything. It's just good.
Yeah.
Then a classic one that I would recommend that they didn't really continue on with was the Santa Clarita Diet.
Yeah, I enjoyed like the first two seasons.
It was funny. They had gore. It was really good. All right, guys. Hope you have a good one. Later.
Yeah, and what's her name? The little fire starter.
Drew Barrymore.
Drew Barrymore and the dude, Elefante, whatever his name is.
Tom Oliphant.
Oliphant.
I think it's Tom.
They're a great.
Timothy.
They're a great combo. That was really fun.
I've only seen a couple episodes of that. I didn't continue, not because I didn't like it, but because it was just like.
It's comedy. It's comedy horror. It's fun. It's good stuff. Yeah. What did he say that second one was? I think they're both the Kingdom and.
No, the other one I hadn't heard of before.
Yeah. No zombies allowed or something like that.
Uh-huh, okay.
They're both Asian and I think they're both on Netflix.
Oh, really?
And they look pretty good.
I always wonder why I keep Netflix sometimes. Stranger Things comes out, I'll get rid of it for a while, you know, whatever. But maybe I should dig deeper. Dig deeper.
Yeah. Well, that I would say dig deep all the time.
Yeah, but it's...
dig a hole, dig deep. Dig, you know, dig...
And who am I kidding?
Dig in your ass,
not,
dig deep.
It's not
deep.
Like I can just cancel it because my kids use my same...
Exactly.
You know, whatever,
you're not...
So it's like,
as much as you want to say, I'm canceling it all,
I can't,
man,
I can't.
Because everyone's going, Daddy, what'd you do?
Yeah, exactly. Why can't I log in?
Is there something irritating about that? Because to me, I got the Paramount Plus, and it is fucking terrible.
Yeah.
It's probably one of the worst fucking apps I have ever... had, you know, that I've purchased.
Really?
It's just bad. It runs like shit. You can go over to Netflix, boom, there it goes. Hulu, boom, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
Paramount Plus. But as soon as I got it, they both started asking for the codes to it.
Of course.
And then you see their little images pop up next to it, and I kind of have disdain for them.
Here's the thing. I've been
so... For not
so,
going, get your own fucking account.
I've been so beaten over streaming services and like, giving it to everybody that I know it's possible, stuff like that. I'm immune to it. So I'm like, you know what? One day I'm going to cancel
it's like
it
you're
all.
A, it's like you're a carcass laying on the side of the
dude,
road. And everyone is just eating out of your midsection.
Dude, that's,
you're like, just eat it.
That's
just
how,
take it.
Bro, that's how my kids are now. It's like, hey, Dad, what's up? I'll go over there. We'll hang out. Hi, Dad. What's going on? We hang out. We talk a little bit. But like, I'll tell you what. They'll call me up. Dad, what happened to this? Dad, can I have $50? Dad,
Jesus.
And I'm like,
$50.
I'm like, oh my God.
Nothing is $5.
Everything is
$50.
My daughter's like, hey, you said you'd pay for this. I need $75. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I did say that. So I guess I have to come through.
You're like logging off the Venmo now.
It's like, oh.
Anyone else need anything?
I'm to the point where I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, let's say I get in a... Heaven forbid.
Don't say.
No, but
I would
I'm
tell you,
like,
don't get in car crash. Don't
I'm not
say
trying
if I
to.
Die in,
but they will get so much money and they'll be like, I love my dad because this is all I do anymore.
I would
this
agree with that, though.
Anymore.
I've got some pretty
it's
good
like,
policies
oh my
going
gosh.
Where it's probably not good policies like you've got, well, but I've got a couple policies on there where they'd be like, I'm so glad
he
dad's
was such
dead.
A great man. No, no, he'd be. No, they wouldn't say that.
Oh, they'll
left.
Cry when they say just sign here and the money goes in your account. I love daddy so much. I love.
But
him.
it's like, hey kids, listen. Remember that time? Like, well, I also have kids who can't drive yet, so I'm still driving them around, you know, all the time. So once they all have driver's license, they don't need me anymore. You know, so it's like we'll be done with that stuff.
Oh yeah, I'm dealing with that. I got a 21. He's gonna be 21 in August.
Oh, mass nuts. What
and
day?
He want
what
nothing.
Day?
To, he's day? Got. He's got 20. Well, 21. August 21st.
Oh, his birthday's a week after mine.
And the dude, he's got his own life, and that's what you want.
Of course you want
him to be independent and gone and say, I don't need to see daddy unless
what?
I want money.
Sometimes you want to go over and hang out with them and actually have them like not be like, oh, dad, come on.
Yeah.
Come on, dad. Dad, this is so inconvenient for me. Dad, come on. You know,
yeah.
until they need the money.
It's very.
Until they need that or a ride or something for me. It's
hey,
like,
dad. Yeah. If they go, hey, dad, you want to go to lunch?
Never.
You son of a bitch. They're going to ask for money. The minute they go, Daddy, what are you doing? Let's get together.
You know, I did have my daughter say, hey, you want to go out? You want to go to lunch today? And I'm like, yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, when we get there, I realize I'm like, oh, wait, I'm paying, aren't I?
You're paying, and she's going to go, geez, I could use a hundy. Do you got a hundy?
Yeah, and that's how it is. And listen, in my old age, as an elderly gentleman,
yeah,
it's just something I got to come to grips with, man. You know?
It's true.
You know what sucks, though, is I feel like it's karma, because when my dad calls, he'll just call me out of the blue, right?
Yeah.
I always look at it and go, oh, man.
I know. I do that to my
mom. This is a 30-minute conversation, and no less. And so it's like...
Yep. And you and do you let it
well,
go?
Well, hold on a sec. What?
Oh, Daddy. Jesus. Hold on, Dad. I'm getting a call from the office.
No, Stephen Thompson, who does our intro video, called me right now, and he doesn't realize that we're making beautiful music right now.
Oh, really? Get him on.
No,
Plug him into your watch.
Okay, so here we go. I'll turn them on. Why not? It's a close
live
guys,
by the
guys.
Seat of your pants.
Yeah, we do crazy stuff all the time. I'm gonna come right back with him, and he's about to.
He's gonna say something ruthless. Say, Michael, don't ever call me again and talk about those disgusting things.
Oh, he's in it. Maybe he's in another call.
Oh, he's in a Zoom meeting.
Yeah, whatever.
He was trying to get you. He was trying to get you to do some.
He probably needed money too. Anyway, so
he's like, man, you know, got a handy.
Do you know what I'm gonna do right now? Typically, now's a point in time where I'm like, hey, here's a question for next episode, but I'm gonna let this one ride. TV. Yeah. I know people love them because I have my answers, and there are none of which Mark brought up.
Right. So what are yours? Oh, you're gonna let it ride. I'm gonna say one. I love that Black Summer. I wish they would kick that shit out
Black
faster.
Black Summer?
Black Summer on Netflix. It is fast paced zombie action. There's not a lot of talking in it. There's no fucking I love you so much, baby, but we gotta fight the demons.
Yeah, sure.
It's shit's going down, and let's pretend there's a camera crew following us, you know, and they go through fucking shit. Black Summer.
Is it Asian?
There's two seasons. It's I don't know if it's American, but it's
Whitey.
It's Whitey.
Okay.
And dude, it's insane. From the get-go. What's going on? They're running out and you're just seeing it. It's like real time watching it.
Yeah,
so there's
really,
not
okay.
story and bullshit.
Good.
And
because zombie stories are the dumbest. It's like
this is high impact.
And do you know what else?
Zombie.
Everybody's
shit.
Like for my whole life, they've been like, zombie movies aren't necessarily about the zombies. They're about humanity. And I'm like, you know what?
I mean, agree with that.
Cool.
When you're eating a baby,
but
you will not eat my baby,
but the
sir.
Thing is, I'm like, I know. I saw Dawn of the Dead in 1979. I saw that. I mean, not in 1979 because I was 3 years old, but you know what I'm saying?
I saw it later.
And it was like, fine, it's
when
fine.
When you had to sneak
all
away
these stuff
somewhere.
And you're right about that.
Yeah.
But I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't care about these people. Let's see some shoot.
That's exactly what Black Summer is.
That's fucking good, hit
the fan, and you're watching people. It's almost like
Bloody Black Summer.
The way they do it is it's almost like a documentary crew is filming these people in the middle of a zombie apocalypse.
Really?
And so you're just seeing a lot of running and jumping on shit and angry. Well, you could get the argument. These zombies are fast, so they're just infected.
Sure.
But they're pissed off.
Do you
they're
remember
angry,
when people
fast.
Used to argue about that? Like back in the old days, right when 28 Days Later came out, they're
like, yeah, I don't.
These aren't actually zombies. I'm like, who gives a shit? God,
exactly.
Stop
this
it.
Is some. This is high power shit.
Yeah.
So I would definitely say that. I think that's like a roller coaster ride.
Yeah.
Black Summer. So check that out.
So we're going to let that one ride, though.
Let it ride.
Give us your TV series. You're not TV anymore. We talked about that, but get it go. 385-351-9273. 353-519-2273. Shane, what do we got next?
Let's get into the band, Triptychon.
What song
do
you want to
Tom
play?
Tom G. Warrior. If you don't know him, get to know him, sister. He's done a shit ton of stuff.
Can we play Aurora?
Beautiful track.
So we'll play that and we'll be right back to talk about Triptychon.
Nice. We'll be right back. The walls of heartache. Bang bang. He is Tom G. Warrior. Yes. He is
Wait.
What? Now I gotta
start.
That
was amazing. That was amazing, dude.
Shooting at the walls of heartache. Bang bang.
Bang bang.
He is Tom G. Warrior. Yes, he is Tom G. Warrior. And heart to heart, you'll win if you survive this introduction to the band we are doing tonight. Headed by Tom G. Warrior from Hellhammer, from Celtic Frost.
Yep.
Fame. Ladies and sperms, I give you Triptychon. Like them on Facebook, official Twitter, Triptychon. They got it.
Of course, good.
They got
good
it.
Good for them.
Tom G. has an Instagram. The band does not. Tom G. does. Weird name that he picked for his... His tag?
Yeah, sure.
Rumor bid.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that means, but it's like Tom G. Warrior's official account says rumor bid.
You realize that now bid. I'm always like, Tom G. Warrior.
I am Tom G. Warrior. official website, triptychon.net, so they didn't even get com.
Ew.
Oh, my God. Milana Chasmata or Kasmata, Milana Kasmata Chasmata.
I feel like it's Sesmata because it's not the Boston Celtics.
Yeah. Okay, so Milana Chasmata Sesmata. Released April 2014, second studio album, 9 tracks. Hold on to your hat. 66 minutes, 42 seconds long on Prowling Death / Century Media Records. What say you on Tom G. Warrior? And by the way, Milana Chasmata mm-hmm. is Latin, and it means sweet soul patch.
The thing you grow underneath your lip?
Because Tom G, he's always loved the soul patch.
Interesting.
Something.
So there's a couple of things I will have to say. First of all, I knew Celtic Frost back when they sounded like Venom.
Yeah.
And not like Triptychon. Because, so there was an album from Celtic Frost called Monotheist.
Yeah.
I think it was 2006.
Die Monster Die played that tour with Typo Negative Celtic Frost on the...
Monotheist tour?
Monotheist, and that's the last time.
But Monotheist sounds a lot like this Triptychon, in my opinion. Yes. I mean, obviously, it's a little bit different, but it sounds very similar.
Heavy, doomy, sludgy.
But the thing is, back in the old days, they could have almost passed for new wave of heavy British British heavy metal,
yeah.
Kind of like, but they do sound much like Venom, who I guess are the progenitors of black metal because they have a song called Black Metal. But the thing is, so I like that old shit a lot.
Right.
Monotheist comes out, and I'm like, it's okay. You know, it's fine, it's slow, and Tom G. Warrior doesn't have a death growl, but he's just, like, kind of belting up. Jeff, you know, and it's kind of the same thing on this. But one thing that I found very, very interesting about specifically Tom was that he was a personal assistant to H.R. Giger.
Yes.
From 2007 until his death. Yeah. And it's crazy because he is like the ultimate artiste for us horror and metal guys.
That right? is H.R. Giger's artwork on his album cover for this, Malana absolutely. Chasmata. Yeah.
And he also did a bunch for Celtic Frost.
Yeah.
Long story short, I guess.
Alien and, dare I say, Event Horizon's backgrounds. They said, look at books from H.R. Giger and those Alien movies.
I'm going to get into some stuff when it comes to that, though. Yeah. Like inspirations and all that kind of other stuff when we talk about the movie.
Yeah.
What's his name? Thomas Gabriel Fisher. Sorry. Can you believe that I didn't say warrior? Okay. He was awarded the Metal Hammer Golden Gods Award for inspiration. He was ranked 32 out of the 100 greatest heavy metal guitarists of all time in 2010.
Well, congratulations to him.
And, good for him.
He's such a humble guy. I've listened to interviews with him where he's like, no, it wasn't me. Celtic Frost? No, that wasn't me. That was everyone else.
Well, and the
Hellhammer?
Thing,
no.
Seems like such a great guy. I really want to love everything he ever does.
Yeah. However.
The problem is.
Oh.
No. Okay. So let me just do it. Okay. So
and surprisingly, you didn't get into the mid-80s Celtic Frost when they decided to do a twist on... they went, let's go fucking glammy.
Oh, I did not notice that.
And
no.
That's the one album. It's called, Lake... There's a song called Cherry Orchards on it.
Oh,
they
my
made
gosh.
A video for it.
No
and
kidding.
And he's got ratted hair and everything. And that's the one album he goes,
out of anybody,
I will not speak of that. Someone asked him a
out
question.
Out of anybody on the planet, Michael did not get into the hair metal Celtic Frost stuff. Well, I am ashamed.
That's what I'm talking
I'm
about.
I'm ashamed, folks.
Cherry Orchards. It's bad.
The thing is, with this music, the tempo is very slow and brooding. Outside of, there's a couple of tracks on this album that are, you know, that are the exceptions. Breathing is a good one. We got some tempo and some more traditional riffery from a couple of other songs. But here's one thing about this album. Their guitar tone, the way their guitar sounds, is beautiful. Cramped.
That's crazy because when you started to say that, I was like, oh, is he going to say it's shit? Because I think it's beautiful.
No, I loved it.
Yeah.
And this sounds great. And I'm not going to lie to you. So there's a reason why we listen to these albums five times. The first time I was like, okay, fine. But by the fifth time I was like, man, I don't know. I don't want to speak out of turn because I am not a musician or a historian of music, and I don't know enough to say this stuff. But the thing is, after a while, I realized, you know what, Michael? You have been listening to this the wrong way. This is some cold, like,
damp, dark.
Yeah.
Pretend you're on the ship, Event Horizon.
Exactly right. And
now
I,
listen to
and
it.
And I feel like, but it's a very backgroundy,
yeah.
Like, I don't know. I don't know if you
this
can say
is
the word
kind
goth.
Of album that you listen to in a vampire sex dungeon.
Yes, absolutely.
It's playing, it's and there's just hedonism and sucking,
sensual.
Fucking blood, sensual, and you're just going, my.
So I've never heard this album before.
Yeah.
And the first time I was like, oh my gosh, I got to listen to this four more times. But by the end, I was like, I get it, and this is very, very decent. Is it one that I'm going to go sing all the words to as I'm driving down the road with my kids? No, because
you
no.
can't sing Tom G. Warrior in anything he does, you know?
But the bottom line is after a while, this album is a mood piece for me.
That's what, that's, yeah.
It is very slow, but it's like, and I'll talk about this in the Event Horizon when we talk about that too, but there's a lot of depictions of hell, right? Very many. You've got your Rain and Blood, right? Which is a very fiery and red and hot hell, right?
Yeah.
This is a very cold
yes,
hell.
Yes, that's what I think my
like
hell
stalactites
is.
Stalactites and
stalagmites.
Yeah, stalagmites.
And I'm sitting on a stalagmite and I'm sucking on a stalactite.
Yes. The thing is this is a very, very cold album. This is not a warm, fuzzy feeling album. Because, I mean, sometimes Rain and Blood, you'd be like, yeah, you know,
yeah,
you're whatever.
You're in a party mood.
But the thing this is
a
this is not
a Debbie Downer.
So after five listens, I was like, Michael, you know what? You're gonna. I don't know why I'm talking so much in
the
third person
today.
Welcome
to the new age.
And I'm just like, basically, you have grown as a person after these five listens because you hated it at first, but now I feel like you understand it, and it is the perfect backdrop for a cold. Like, cold, you're so cold.
Yeah.
All that stuff. Yeah. And I ended up really liking it, which is crazy to me.
Yeah. And it was, this is the first time I got into some Triptychon. I did the song Aurora.
Yeah.
On my YouTubes. And I
oh,
went,
did you?
God damn.
That's, I think
there.
That's my
that's
favorite song on the album. Yeah.
And then, and you're right. After five listens, you go, oh, I get this. This is not something you put on in your car to go get groceries.
It's why you're working. It's why you
fuck
have
a
some
hobo. This is, you know, this is something you put in the background and you soak it in.
Yes.
It's a vampire sex tape.
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
It is a goth. It's got, here's what I got. Nice gothic doom sludge with a splash, just a twist of black metal influence in there. Because they go.
Yeah, they'll do that, of course.
This album sounds like an H.R. Geiger painting.
Oh, I agree with that.
It
that's
just
a very,
feels like
that's a very astute observation.
And also, as you're watching Event Horizon, I mean, we didn't plan this.
No, we did not.
But it kind of plays in where you're like, God, you could watch that damn movie and listen to the album and
absolutely
kind of go, oh, I'm getting the same kind of vibe here.
Exactly.
These guys would have been great opener for Typo Negative.
I, you know what I was saying, that you know what I
were,
don't want to
I
put
think,
them into Typo Negative because there are different bands.
I can't
but
remember
their
if it was Gore and Type and Celtic Frost or if it was Typo Negative and Celtic Frost.
This is
I
Triptychon though, but let's be real.
But it's Tom G.
Monotheist could have been a Triptychon album and vice versa.
Yeah, yeah. Great mix and master, and the guitar tones were
I
excellent.
Loved it.
Nice and creepy vibe. My favorite songs, Altar of Deceit, or was it? Yeah, Deceit. Changed the word on me. Aurora, Bolskin House. I wasn't a fan of the, when they would go, ah, let's go fast. Yeah. I like the jams where it was just like, bleh. What does he say in Aurora? About the spirit. The spirit is gone. What does he say?
I can't remember.
Anywho, I say buy something.
Yeah.
From Triptychon. I might try and find a nice shirt or something, but I'm streaming the album, so I say buy something.
And to be honest with you, I'm kind of on the same thing. I was teetering between a high Spotify and a kind of a buy type of situation. This is good. The only reason I wouldn't buy their album, but I would buy their t-shirt, is because they're cool and I love them.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'm gonna listen to them outside of streaming, you know?
Like I say, it's hard to, you know, with streaming and everything, it's like they go, whatever, bro, I'll just go stream it. So buy something. And my opinion on that is buy something from Triptychon. That's my thing.
I agree.
Yeah.
That's all you got?
That's it.
I do want to say one last thing about Triptychon. So it seems to me like this is a Tom G. Warrior project. Most of all, because there's different people in this band than there were in Celtic Frost.
Yeah.
Celtic Frost was in a very different place in the 80s than it was in 2006. But I feel like these kind of became the same band. I can tell it's Tom's influence and the way he likes to do things. And the thing is this dude was with the greatest art. He was humble enough, even though he was in these bands, to be the assistant to one of the greatest artists of our time.
Yeah.
And I say, kudos.
Designed everything from Alien.
Exactly.
Just every Danzig album cover. Yep. Every fucking, the guy was
except
just like,
for Lucifuge when you got Danzig's hairy chest.
Yeah.
That was awful.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Fuck that guy. We don't like him anymore.
I like him.
I mean, H.R. Giger. And there's a documentary you can watch on H.R. Giger.
And
they are
close.
He's in it.
Yeah.
They were deep, close friends.
Yes. Uh-huh.
But he's such a humble sweetheart of a guy where he's like, no, I don't deserve any credit. And everyone else that I've ever played with deserves all the credit.
Well,
I don't.
A nice person.
So I go, I give
slow
him
slow clap for him. Yep.
I say, Tom G, you keep going, sister, because you've got it. Whatever that is, you damn have it.
So what we got next there, Shane?
Trivia.
What's the subject of the video?
It's about your dad's balls.
Oh, I know everything about those.
I know you do with the hairs and stuff.
Corpse Cast Trivia with Mike, Shane, and Ricky.
Shout out to 1997. That's right.
Oh, good.
Films like Godzilla, An American Werewolf in Paris, which I Know What Great. You Did Last Summer, Anaconda, and, I mean, dare I say,
I know what you're doing right now.
Alien Resurrection.
You're telling me what aren't the answers right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Alien Resurrection. Remember that?
Yes, I do. I liked it.
That came out the same year, 1997, as Event Horizon. Anywho, let's get into it. Number one, 1997 film, IMDb gives it a 5.8. A drunken crane operator drops the valuable statue of Uhura. And that is the sexy African-American lady that was in the 1960s, thank you very much, version of Star Trek. Over the assistant of Raymond Beaumont on the harbor, and one worker finds the huge and priceless opal red stone where the gin is seized. That's the question.
Wishmaster.
Well, you just, your wishes were mastered because you've got it. Yes, you got that. It stars Andrew Divoff, Greg Funk, and Tammy Lauren. Here's the fun nugget. Characters' names, Finney, Beaumont, Dareth, and Merritt, are all references to early 20th century science fiction and horror writers. Jack Finney, Charles Beaumont, August Dearleth, and Abraham Merritt.
I did not know that.
So you got that one. That was easy. Number two, 1997. Good year.
Mm-hmm.
Film, IMDb gives it a 5.8. Same score. Interesting. A homicide detective and an orthopologist try to destroy a South American lizard-like god who's on a people-eating rampage in the Windy City of Chicago.
Chicago.
Chicago Museum of Fine Arts. And lesser arts. They have all sorts of arts there in Chicago.
I didn't know what I was supposed to guess.
Yeah.
Mimic.
No, you're wrong. I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I need
hints. Stars Tom Sizemore, Linda Hunt, and Penelope Ann Mirror. It's not Mimic. I have to redouse you.
Oh my gosh. It's not,
I have to redouse you in your boisterous claims.
No, you're right. I always get these two mixed up. It's Mimic and Oh my gosh. It's the other one. Oh. I know what movie this is. Oh my gosh.
I hope you don't say Dybbuk.
No, I'm not going to say that. No, because there was two that came out.
Mimic and Dybbuk.
And they, oh my gosh.
Oh. A lot of these movies came out at the same time that are kind of
entertain the folks.
I'm gonna hate myself.
I'm trying to wonder if I could give you the fun nugget in there.
Yeah, go ahead.
Without giving anything away, Tom Sizemore, Linda Hunt, and Penelope Ann Miller. Good actress though, by the way.
She's hot too.
And she was in an off-Broadway play that I recall hearing something about. And it was something about just awesome things, but I can't remember what it was. The movie was originally projected to be a box office bomb due to the movie having no stars. Hello? Tom Sizemore, Linda Hunt, and Penelope Ann Miller?
I always got these two films mixed up, Mimic and this one. And so,
me finish reading the fun nugget, then I don't have to do it anymore.
Sorry.
We'll start from the beginning. The movie was originally projected to be a box office bomb due to the movie having no stars and the success of films like Scream and Austin Powers, baby. Yeah, baby. Dominating the box office. On opening weekend, you're not going to believe yourself when you hear this. The movie performed 5 times higher than the original expected. It is not The Mimic.
I cannot remember for the life of me. What is it?
You're going to get it the minute you know it, because it's got a kind of an ickick, pickick, you know.
I already know. You're taking the deuce? I'll take the deuce.
The Relic.
Oh, my hell. Exactly right. I knew it.
Welcome to Helltown, Penelope Ann Miller.
Oh, my gosh.
It is the Relic.
I should have got that. I'm 1-1, so I'm
good. And the good news is I got that fun nugget right out of the way.
Yeah.
Number three, 1997 film. IMDb gives it a 6.2. A law student takes a job in a morgue, thinking that he will have much time to study. Ooh, I will have much time to study. Must be an Asian fella. I will have much time to study, with his biggest problem being his paranoia in this scary setting. Meanwhile, a serial killer is on the loose, and the students end up getting mixed up with one of the murders, becoming a suspect.
Oh, my gosh. Is that the whole story of the movie, or a side story?
I'm going to say, well, it was the synopsis. 6.2 on that. That's better than those other two movies, for sure.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, my gosh. Those are both, what, 5.8s? This is a 6.2. That's like a dramatic step up.
So I'm trying to be cool, and I'm trying not to drag it out.
Stars, yeah. Josh Brolin, Eric Anderson, and one young... what's his name? Obi-Wan Kenobi? Ewan McGregor.
Oh, my gosh. Why can't I?
I think Ewan McGregor is the student that takes the job at the mortuary.
I see the movie now.
And he says, oh, my. Well, there ain't no...
I'm literally seeing in my brains
there ain't no lightsabers around here. What are we going to do? Am I going to fuck a corpse over there? Am I going to swing?
I'm going to take the deuce right now because I'm mad.
Night Watch.
Yep.
Fun nugget. A clue to the true identity. Oh, this is great. Spoiler alert. Plug your ears if you're ever going to watch Night Watch. A clue to the true identity of the killer is inadvertently given away in the first minute of the film. Before the killer stabs a prostitute to death, Jesus, in the opening scene, there is a shot of his pale, wrinkled hand turning on a cassette deck to play the song, This Old Man, He Plays Six, He Puts Hands Across My Dicks. I didn't write that. I just
winged that. Okay.
This eliminates the possibility of Josh Brolin's youthful olive skin
right,
hands.
Right, right.
That's weird. I put it in. Youthful olive
you
skin.
You know, I should be 3 for 3, but I'm 1-2.
James being the killer, despite several scenes hinting at such. So, spoiler alert, it is Josh Brolin. The hands were fucked up. Okay, people? Number four. 1997 film. IMDb gives it a 4.8. And I feel like you're going to know this one.
I hope.
We got 5.8s. We got 6.2s. You don't know. I feel like you're going to know this.
I hope.
Dr. Lorca, a collector of biological oddities, fights another curator over horrors over a mutant. But their clash is cut short when the mutant comes to life and resurrects as an angry, oozing army. Stars, Jerry O'Donnell, Mel Johnson Jr., and Rhonda Griffin.
Oh, my gosh. I know this one.
And
too.
I know you know this one. Dr. Lorca.
Thank you. I know that's the one.
A collector of biological oddities fights another curator of horror.
Oh, it's a. Oh no, it's that full moon one. It's
you're almost there, baby.
Oh my gosh, it's.
Do you need to be?
Yes, I know what this is. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Come on, work it, work through it. Come on, breathe.
Okay, it's.
Breathe deep. Into the nose. What did they say? In through the nose, out through the mouth.
It's the one we did on the show before.
Yes.
Yes, we have. It's. Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh, Michael.
I'm going to give you a hint, and it is unorthodox what I'm doing. It is absolutely unorthodox what I'm doing right now. I'm going to give you two words. Charles
Band. I know it. I already knew that it was.
Oh, you knew it was Charles
Band? I knew it was Full Moon, so it's like.
Okay, I take back that it was unorthodox.
What does it rhyme with, bro? You know I know this. You know I know it. Oh my gosh, we did this on the show.
I'm going to say it rhymes with.
Oh my gosh.
Tidious.
Hideous.
Great.
Thank you. Oh my gosh.
If hideous.
Oh my gosh.
Hideous with an exclamation point.
Oh my gosh.
Here's the fun nugget.
I am the worst.
Look at old goddamn Rhonda Griffin here.
Yeah, right.
Rhonda Griffin, first role. Her first role in a movie. And then she picked Charles Band.
Everybody starts in horror or porn, man.
She refused to do nude scenes. And that's probably why they hired her. They're like,
there was a ton of nude scenes. She's got some bangers on her. In this movie, by the way.
So they had to force, they were forced to get a body double.
That's okay.
Yeah. You know, I mean.
Like, I don't care. Like, I go to those sites trying to jerk off to, like, famous people, and I don't care if it's a body double. As long as Sarah Michelle Gellar's face is on it,
exactly.
I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, you see those Google image, you know, when you're it's like, normal people would say, what? What are you talking about? When you Google, like, Sarah Michelle Gellar nude, naked, then you start to go.
Then you see her with like a big dick in her pussy or like her spreading. You're like, I know that's not her. Come
on. I got to tell you something. There's this transgender guy that works at the 7-Eleven by my house. Yeah. And I feel like we're smitten with each other.
Oh, dear.
Very, very beautiful eyes.
Bro, love is love.
Very, very beautiful eyes, though. I'm like, God damn, I can't believe you're a man. Yeah, I'll take the jelly roll and the tea.
But also, let me tell you something about a transgender man.
I know.
She's not going to be like, oh my gosh, where have you been all night? Oh my gosh, you hurt my feelings. Oh my goodness. You guys will be like, yo, let's check out the game and then fuck.
The only problem, see, I don't think that people are like prejudiced against transgender people. I really feel like it's fucking mitt to mitt, son. You know, you're with some beautiful transgender girl and she just plops out a big banger. And you're like, my
that's
God,
hard. That's hard
I
to
am,
take.
I am a fan. You don't want to see mine. And she's like, rest easy, baby, because this thing's going in your ass. And then I go, wait, what? Well, you can do whatever you want,
bro,
with your little wing.
You know
wing,
what?
But
guess
I'm going to do
guess
this
what?
With a fucking bango.
You
bang
can love who you want.
Yeah.
She can love who she wants.
I'm telling you, there's something going on between us. Will it ever leave 7-Eleven? No, it won't.
Well,
you know, but I gotta say, I'm just like, God damn, you got beautiful eyes.
Well,
I may or may not have said that.
No judgment, bro.
At one time, where I was
like zero.
And I've also may or may not have said, I like it when you straighten your hair because she's got kind of curly hair. I don't know, it's like,
I remember there
you got
was
a good, beautiful eyes and a straight.
There was
hair
a,
look.
There was I a like time it. A long time ago when Michael and Shane went out. Shane was playing, and I had a good time with a woman that night, right?
Right.
And then the next...
Marv.
Yeah, and then the next... Well, we didn't need to name names, right?
Well,
but
Marvin.
The next day, Shane was like, that was a dude. And I'm like...
But it wasn't.
I'm like, well, I had fun. It was fine. Whatever. Turns out it wasn't, thank goodness. But, I mean, it's like... Bro,
but what if it
I
was?
Understand. I mean, if it
what
was,
if
we'd
she
be
got
friends.
Online and she said, surprise?
It
wouldn't matter.
Bro, I'm 46 years old almost, man. I'm not, it's like.
You're
it's,
like, get it where the getting's good. And it wouldn't have mattered if she would have went, hey, Michael, I couldn't tell you that I was transgender. But I had transitioned all the way through it. And we fucked and sucked and banged all night
we
long.
We did not
we
do
loved
that.
It.
We did not do that, though.
We loved it. Oh, you didn't do that?
Not that night.
Well, what about all the burrito juice?
Well, because I found out she was a woman.
Right.
Thankfully.
And then you went,
yeah.
Here goes the burrito juice.
Stop it.
Here we got number five. 19. Oh, this
we're tied.
Is
we're tied, by the way.
Good news. We're getting out of 97. Even though this was in the 1997 movies, this is 1998 film. IMDb gives it a 5.4. In the peaceful town of Snowville, Colorado, something evil has wiped out the community. Oh. And now, It's up to a group of people to stop it. Or at least get out of Snowfield alive.
Okay.
Stars. You want to know the stars?
Ben Affleck.
Ben the freaking Affleck. Rose McGowan. Mm-hmm. Hashtag me too. She was there.
Then she shaved her head and I was like, ew.
We are the part of the Janet Nation. And Peter O'Toole.
Yeah, he was in it.
Jeez, what is it?
Yo, Ben Affleck, you were great in Phantoms. Turn up
God bang.
The radio.
Oh, and this is very interesting fun nugget that I heard. The flat worm theory used in the movie that flatworms can eat the remains of their own kind and absorb their knowledge is based on actual tests.
Eat your brains and absorb
given to
your
flatworms,
knowledge.
Which involve seeing how quickly they would make the correct turn at a Y intersection after eating the previous experimenters.
That's crazy.
The results were more inconclusive than the film says. Jesus. Well, what was that all about? I thought it was going to say fucking flatworms, bitch. I didn't read that before.
Oh, you know what? I won. I won, but that's because you said Schmidius. I feel like I won't get a big head, but I'll also.
I like
take
to
the
give
win.
You, you know, I give you a
remember
little.
Remember when Ricky used to do it and try to F me over every time?
I mean, I don't technically try to F you over. I just go, oh, I think he's going to, you know, he's going to do fairly well.
You know,
or not.
I should have got Relic. I totally should have got Nightwatch.
Sometimes I'm surprised when I go, oh, yeah, he's not going to get much of this. No. Then you are.
But it happens, bro. So guess what we're about to do right now?
Yeah, what?
We're about to play a trailer for the movie Event Horizon, and then we're going to be right back to talk about it.
Mm-mm-mm.
This morning, TDRS picked up an automated navigation beacon broadcasting at 2-minute intervals in Neptune orbit.
This is incredible. It's the Event Horizon. She's come back.
Event Horizon is the culmination of a secret government project to create a spacecraft capable of faster-than-light flight. The ship doesn't really go faster-than-light. What it does is it creates a dimensional gateway that allows it to jump instantaneously from one point of the universe to another light years away.
Where has she been for the last 7 years, Doctor?
That's what we're here to find out. After 7 years in deep space.
18 people on board this ship when it disappeared. I want them all accounted for.
Opening outer door.
It came back, abandoned.
Any crew?
Negative.
This place is a tomb.
But it didn't come back alone.
Captain Miller! I've got some problems here!
This ship has been beyond the boundaries of our universe. Who knows where it's been? And what it's brought back with it.
What is that? What is it?
The ship is reacting to us and the reactions are getting stronger.
What are you telling me? That this ship is alive?
I have such one thing to show you.
Oh my God!
It knows my secrets. It knows my fears.
Vacate. I want off this ship.
I can't leave.
She won't let you.
All right, everybody, you just heard the trailer for Event Horizon from the great year 1997.
It's a good year.
IMDb gives us a 6.6.
Mm-hmm.
6.
That's a top score from the trivia.
Yeah.
Nothing higher.
Well, because this is one of the greatest movies ever made. Directed by a guy named Paul W.S. Anderson, he has 19 directorial credits. Original Mortal Kombat movie in 1995. Come on, give that to me. Come on.
get out of here. What did he say? Get over here.
Yeah, that was Scorpion. Resident Evil, AVP, some Resident Evil sequels. The recent movie called Monster Hunter with Mila Jovovich, who was also in the Resident Evil. Let's talk about Mila Jovovich.
I mean, she's all right. She was in that movie with Bruce Willis. Mila Jovovich. She was the what's it called? Fifth Element.
Yeah, she was. Multi-pass.
You're looking at me like
multi-pass,
bro. Yeah, what are you talking about? Bruce Willis.
It was written by Philip Eisner. Only 4 writing credits. Firestarter Rekindled in 2002. Never heard of it. Mutant Chronicles. Never heard of that either.
Jesus. Telling me this guy's a real turd when it comes to making movies.
I'm not saying he's a turd or not. I'm saying that he wrote one of the greatest movies of all time in Event Horizon and never like hit that point again in his life.
Right.
Lawrence Fishburne is starring in this as Captain S.J. Miller, commanding officer of the Lewis and Clark. Sam Neill is Dr. William G., quote-unquote, Billy Weir, designer of the Event Horizon. Kathleen Quinlan, who was in tons of movies, but also was in the remake of The Hills Have Eyes.
Oh.
We got Jolie Richardson as Lieutenant M.L. Stark, communications and executive officer of Lewis and Clark. Do you know where she came from? Can I give you a hint?
Yes, I'd love that.
I am just a new boy.
Stranger in this town. Wagging all the good guys.
Who's going to get this stranger around? Remember when all those
she's
girls
in the video?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Jesus, that's old as fuck. That's like 1981.
Bro, guess what?
87.
We are old. We're old men.
65?
It's fine. Richard T. Nelson's T.F. Cooper. I only want to mention this last one because his last name is Noseworthy.
Noseworthy.
Jack Noseworthy is Little Bear, Baby Bear. Okay.
Little Bear, Baby Bear.
But also Sean Pertwee, like a giant, huge.
What about Daddy Bear?
No, it was Mama Bear. Kathleen Quinlan was Mama Bear.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
The year is 2047. The vessel, the Lewis and Clark, are responding to a distress signal that has come from deep space. The funny thing is that distress signal is coming from a spacecraft called the Event Horizon.
Yeah.
This puzzles the crew of the Lewis and Clark because the Event Horizon disappeared without a trace about 7 years ago, so that would make it 2040. And the Lewis and Clark has been tasked to figure out what happened to the Event Horizon and to see if there are any crew members still alive.
They're like space investigators.
Exactly.
Kind of a sort.
Could you say...
a ragtag team of space investigators.
I'm glad you didn't say space invaders, because that would have made me go on a whole different tangent.
No.
When they embark on this journey, they bring along a guy named Dr. Weir, who's played by Sam Neill. He designed and built the Event Horizon. He explains to the crew that the Event Horizon is a special craft, and that it contains something called the gravity drive. This allows a craft to travel faster than light by creating a black hole in which it travels to make long trips almost instantaneously.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
You've seen it where you fold the paper in half and you say, we take space and time. And if you bend that paper in half and put the pencil through
that's
it,
some,
you say,
That's some wormhole theory.
That's like some strange, string stranger
theory.
Things.
That's string theory.
That's
okay.
String theory, but it's also stranger theory, stranger things. Because the science teacher says that. He says, how do we get to the, in the first season, he says, how do we get to the monsters? And he says, well, maybe you do this.
Hey, let me ask you something.
And he folded the
paper. What is the fastest way to get between 2 points?
A straight line.
No, it's 0.
Yeah, and that's what he says.
Anyhow, this team goes up. Oh, my goodness, I'm dying.
What's wrong with you?
On arrival, they find out that the Event Horizon. Okay, so I skipped a line. So basically, the Lewis and Clark goes out there the old-fashioned way. They go into the hypersleep.
Yeah,
where they're in their tubes and stuff like that. 52 days later, they go to check out the Event Horizon. They find it out there in a weird orbit of Neptune.
Yeah.
They go into the Event Horizon. They find nothing but cold emptiness at first, but quickly find what looks like the aftermath of a massacre.
Yeah.
Blood all over the walls, mangled bodies floating around. What happened to the original crew of the Event Horizon? Where did the ship travel during the trip through the black hole? Should Clive Barker get any royalties for this film?
Well, that's interesting. I'd love to hear that angle.
Find out by watching Event Horizon from 1997. Shane, what'd you think?
I thought it was a pretty good movie.
Oh, that's it?
I mean, it's a pretty good movie. There's a hell of a lot of vibe to it. Like, I mean, I guess it would be Alien. Alien was the go-to of every space horror movie of all time. Their
if
guy,
you say so.
Go there. Because even the Event Horizon vessel itself, just looking around, and I smoked some weed and was watching, so I was paying attention. But I was like, yeah, it's not Alien. It's not H.R. Giger, but it is, let's love this. And they do a good job of it. It's a good movie. A little slow burning for
my
taste.
Oh, my gosh, Shane. You're hurting my heart.
And you kind of know what's going on, what's going to happen with it. Well, we got to go get it. Something going on with that other ship. And then, and how many movies has Sam Neill been in where he's slightly crazy?
This and In the Mouth of Madness. So, two.
And more than that.
And Possession. He's always playing. And Possession, so three.
He's always going... Even in Jurassic Park, he's going,
I'm gonna have to open up your eyes.
There's a goddamn dinosaurs in front of my eyes.
This is Lena one of my Durham. Favorite movies of all time for two reasons. Number one, it deals with science that I don't really understand, but it's totally interesting, but I kind of understand. I'm trying to understand.
Yeah, I like that.
I'm going to read this from advancedsciencenews.com. Black holes are among the most mysterious objects of the universe. For more than a century, physicists have used Einstein's theory of general relativity to describe them, treating gravity as the deformation of space-time created by the energy and momentum of particles and fields. In this theory, however...
This would all be so much better if it was Neil deGrasse Tyson delivering it to me.
No, he's stupid as shit. I don't like it.
I'm just saying, Neil deGrasse Tyson would throw a little spice and flavor in there.
He doesn't like people who believe in a higher power, so fuck that guy. Because I'm a Jesus guy, and you know it. In this theory, a black hole...
but he does a really good job of going, hey, let me, bah, I just go, what? Him or Bill Nye, I always go, God, I'm Bill interested.
Do you realize that Ivan Drago...
Bill Nye,
has a better resume to be the science guy than Bill Nye does.
Are you talking about the guy that fought Rocky?
He's like a rocket scientist and shit. He's a better scientist than Bill Nye.
You just blew my fucking underpants off.
I'm not even like you. And it hurts me because I thought I was the ultimate male, but he is 6'4", 1 inch taller than me. He has bigger tits because he's stronger than me.
And he says...
And he has astrophysicist degrees. He is the ultimate male of all time.
Why isn't he on the online?
Because he made more money just making the Rocky movies, for fuck's sake. Because
I'd be online going, I'm fucking... Dolph Lundgren, bitch.
In this,
let me tell you about all my skills.
He's smarter than all of us on this planet. Basically,
you know, I'm gonna have to take your word for that.
Including Neil deGrasse Tyson.
I think
Neil deGrasse Tyson. I'm trying to make science.
I'm gonna have
funky,
to look online.
And he's a
and
dickhead.
See,
he's
see
a,
what
he's
Dolph
a dick.
Lundgren's into.
In this theory, a black hole is considered an infinitely dense point called a singularity.
Yeah,
which is surrounded by a spherical surface known as an event horizon. Or just a horizon for short, with empty space existing between them. That is literally the explanation that Dr. Weir gave. That was from a website, a science website.
Yeah.
But that was literally, except for he took the porno and stuck a pen right through it and stuff like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this is, so it's got some real.
That's from Stranger Things.
It's got some real, like, science to it. However, that's my number one favorite thing about it. I don't get it.
And
I
he did do that in the movie. Because he took the naked lady picture and he says, hey, don't pop her tits, man.
The thing
and
is,
he folded it up and said,
it's like,
put
I feel like I'm kind of smart, but I'm not that smart when it comes to this thing. And the thing is, I kind of can get the concepts, but my brain is too small to understand a lot of things like this.
Neil deGrasse Tyson, he says that. Where
Neil deGrasse Tyson is just playing.
He says,
imagine
for a moment. The difference between a chimpanzee, which is our closest related relative, and us.
Do you know what he does?
Technology that is beyond our minds is the same as a chimpanzee trying to fuck one in the...
Neil deGrasse Tyson's like, you don't want to fuck a chimpanzee. And also, do you actually think, if you're a dumb shit motherfucker,
Jesus,
that there would be a fucking higher power? Fuck you, Neil deGrasse
Tyson. Did you take your medication today?
No, bro.
My God.
I don't like that guy. He's a hottie bitch, okay?
You don't like Neil deGrasse Tyson? You might be the only person on the planet.
I don't give a fuck if I'm the only person on the planet. He's a dickhead.
My God.
He is an arrogant motherfucker who I wish would never...
He's arrogant?
Yes.
Oh, my heavens.
And you know what? It's going to be great. I'm in heaven and he's in hell, and I could laugh at him.
Oh, my God. That's not a heavenly thing to do.
You're right.
You're going to be in goddamn heaven laughing at people in hell?
You deserve
to go to hell, sir.
No, you're right. If I do that, I deserve to be hell, so I will not
do that. You're going to laugh at Neil deGrasse Tyson in hell?
I'll just forget about that dumbass motherfucker. Anyway, so it also, the second part of this movie that I love so much, it deals with some kind of hell dimension that I find utterly fascinating. I mean, like we talked about before, there are a ton of different movies that portray hell as being very different from Hellraiser. Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, right?
Sam Neill kind of reminded me Hellraiser style.
Yeah. Well, I got some fun nuggets for you after this, okay?
Oh, okay.
Basically, it could be anything the storyteller wants it to be. It can be explored and explained differently in every movie. I'm not going to lie to you. The first time I saw this, it was 1997, and it genuinely frightened me. So I'm going to pull back the curtains, guys.
Wait a minute. Before you pull back the curtain... Is this the precursor to the movies Lawrence Fishburne and Keanu Reeves movies?
Matrix, it was 2 years before, yeah.
Okay, so that comes after.
Yeah.
And they said, by God, that Lawrence Fishburne.
Larry.
He's going to do good.
Larry Fishburne.
All right, okay.
That would, by the way, Larry Fishburne is what he was credited as in Nightmare on Elm Street Part 3, Larry Fishburne. Now he's Lawrence Fishburne.
Well,
but he was a great character.
When you get like a couple of, Nickelodeon awards or something, you go, sure. It's Lawrence.
Sure. I don't know how much you guys know about the Mormons, but I went on a Mormon mission trip. Okay.
Oh my God, you're really laying it out.
When you're supposed to be like totally holy, and also you get back. This was the first movie I saw after that, and I took a date to it.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine the woman who came on a date with me when I was 21.
Right.
And she's like, oh my gosh, he just got off a mission. He's so holy. And I take her to this? She was not happy with me. We never saw each other.
Why?
Again. Because she thought she was getting a pure Jesus guy. And I'm just like, I mean,
what would you have taken her to if you were a pure Jesus guy?
I would not this movie.
Like, what was playing at the time? 1997. You're like,
Relic.
Call me up Sunday morning. Go.
But it's so this also has a soft spot in my heart for this. The characters in this movie were great. My favorite is obviously Sam Neill's Dr. Weir. He's always great. This character, he fits so well. Larry Fishburne was great. There are some flaws in this. The CGI was very 90s for sure, right? But
I mean, I was literally thinking this. It's not that bad.
It's not that bad. But
the books and shit flying in the air. I was like, it's not that bad.
The thing is it was still the 90s. Right. So there is a little bit lacking there. But they also used a ton of practical effects, which were amazing. And if the biggest flaw of this film is the CGI in 1997, and it's fine. I can forget that. Blah, blah, blah. All I'm saying is, and not to get too much into it, because I skimmed the surface with the plot outline, right?
Right.
This movie has so much going on for it.
It's pretty deep.
This literally scared me in the movie theater when I was with a date in 1997, and I am the dude who could not be scared. This was crazy, but there was, Clive Barker.
Actually, that's what I wanted you to
Clive
get to.
Barker actually, what do you call it? It's written down here. Clive Barker.
Yeah, because I was
consulted on this film. He was like, here we go, here we go, here we go. He's not credited or anything like that, but that's why Dr. Weir looks a little bit like a Cenobite.
That makes sense, because I was like, that's Cenobite.
But do you know, Central. But you've read a lot of, or seen and read a lot of Clive Barker.
Yes.
His shit is mind-bendingly good.
Yeah.
Right?
It is.
And shit that could never come out of my brain, because I have a small brain.
Yeah.
Right? But there was so much in this that, like, challenged
that made
this
you stuff, think,
especially in 1997,
yeah,
when we'd never seen it before. Shane, guess what I give this?
You give it a... Oh, are we firing it?
Yep, we're firing it. It's been a long time, but I give it a... Bones!
You're giving it the
I
bone.
Love this movie. I love this movie yeah. so much.
I mean, it is a good movie. I'm not going to lie about that. I enjoyed every minute of it. And I'm surprised at the fact that I feel like I've watched it before, but maybe I was doing, like, you know, sleeping.
Drugs?
Or, well, I was just, like, you not like paying drugs. Attention to it. No, I'm
or
just,
drugs.
I just don't know what I was doing, but
drugs.
I thought it was pretty damn good. I love, there's something, I don't know what this means, but I love this feeling of, like, a spaceship, and they're all running around and
the unknown.
Damn it.
We don't know what's going on.
There's something about sci-fi horror that I really like, and I don't know what that is, but
I feel like, okay, so let me see, I'll tell you what I think, but you tell me if I'm full of shit, because with these ideas, stuff like that, that aren't in Friday the 13th, they're not in Nightmare on Elm Street, they're not, but there's
the vast,
there are this, the irony is, so I'm watching this movie going, holy shit, I'm never going on a spacewalk. I'm never going into outer space.
Yeah.
It is scary on that top level.
That dude that goes out in the fucking shitter and he's like just floating in space.
No way.
It's like, what do you do?
That okay, so when
you're sure. You escaped an explosion.
Let's pretend there was a movie about a dude who got pushed away from a ship and is floating idly through space.
There is
that
one.
Is scary as shit.
There is one.
What is it?
It's from what's his face? He did the what's it? Roddenberry. He wrote a story about a man that is left out and just floating in space and flying off from his situation.
That's story enough, dude.
And you're like, God damn.
Yes.
I thought it was pretty damn good. I'm going to give it a buy. It's worth a all buy. Right. It's worth it. It's I don't know. It feels like a goddamn Clive Barker book.
It does.
That whole kind of thing that's happening in the middle. I'm trying to figure the right words to go, but there's something that's going on with this ship.
Clive Barker does something that H.P. Lovecraft does.
And every
he makes indescribable things indescribed, right?
Yeah.
It's like, I remember when the Hellbound Heart, and he described when Frank was jerking off, his skin was off, and there's pain, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But Clive Barker does a great job about scaring the shit out of you, and also doubly scaring you, because we don't know what the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
And I feel like this movie did a good
job. And there's claustrophobia. You're like, my God, they're in a ship. They're trying to get to the other fucking ship. Right. And they're just trying to fucking survive.
Yes, sir.
All we do is just come out here and we do the job. And I didn't trust Sam Neill for one damn minute.
You did not?
I didn't trust
him. I liked
for
him.
A damn
the first time
minute.
I watched it, I was like, he's going to be the savior. Turns out, no.
Yeah. I give it a buy. I think it's fantastic. It's a good damn movie, I'll tell you that. It's worth watching.
One thing I want to mention is that this movie had 30 minutes cut out of it to make the theatrical cut, because there was more gore and violence and all that stuff. And that was all that was cut out.
Even just them turning up, going, hold on, we got in 3, 2, 5, we got gravitational pull.
Yes.
And then the carnage. Dude. Hitting the floor and everything.
Dude.
When they go, we got gravity in here. You're like, God damn.
There was one scene in this that always makes me not be able to breathe. It's when Baby Bear goes out and he's like, if you've seen what I've seen.
Yeah.
He's in the, I don't know what you call it.
The fuselage that's going to spit him out into space.
Basically, it's their clothes. And then you got to unpressurize it, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden he wakes up, he's like, open the door.
Yeah.
Open. And I'm like, I'm just,
what are you doing?
I'm always like, oh my God, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. And then
I say, open the door. God damn it. He's still that demon thing.
But the thing is, he's like, I think the best line in this whole movie is, if you'd seen what I've seen, you would kill yourself right now, or whatever they said. And that was crazy to me. I love this movie. You're like I said, Bonesaw.
You're like, really?
You know what? We're doing Stir of Echoes next time, by the way. I said that, but then we're doing Stir of Echoes next time.
Sounds good to me. I give it a buy. I think it was great. I think it's a movie to watch. It's a movie to enjoy. And I've heard 1,000 people say, Event Horizon. Event Horizon, bro. Event Horizon.
That's good.
I'm surprised that I don't remember it as well as I did this last time.
Oh, I'm glad.
So I just turn it on and, you know, fall asleep or whatever. But
so let's remind everybody the question of the episode. We're pushing it. What are some good series?
Yeah.
Horror series that you still love. Call it in 385-351-9273. We need to get some more calls. Come on, guys.
Don't be shy. Don't be some silly little fella or some gal that's like, I'm scared.
Just do it. We're not mean. 385-351-9273. Call it in. But guess what? I'm done, man. I'm done.
I'm fucking done.
So for the Corpse Cast, we will catch you guys later.
Take it easy, buddies.